someone sits in a car at night in a parking lot. A dark-haired young man is asleep as a curly-haired teenager silently sits in the driver's side. The curly-haired teen taps on the steering wheel, then checks his watch. A man puts his key into a lock and opens a door. A teenager dressed in black is behind the doors. The man turns on a light.
Haley? Haley? Here, boy. Haley?
The teen grabs him from behind as another teen runs up and holds a knife to the man's throat.
What is this?
Shut up.
What is what? What?
Shut up. Shut up. Just shut up and give me your wallet.
Fine. Here, take it all. Where's my dog? Please don't hurt my dog.
The dog is fine.
Well, then what do you guys want? Just tell me what you want.
The ring. Give me the ring. Give me the damn ring.
Please don't take my wedding ring. My wife will kill me.
Pete, come on.
Pete stares at the man.
Pete
frowns.
I can't do it.
Billy.
I can't.
Billy reaches in his jacket and pulls out a gun. He points it at the man's head.
Oh, God, forgive me.
Here they come.
Billy and Pete are running across the parking lot toward the car.
How'd it go?
We did it. I killed him.
Snow is falling hard as a crowd is gathered in front of a county courthouse. Murder in New Hampshire. The Pamela Woods Smart Story. Police are holding the crowd back. Starring Helen Hunt and Chad Allen. A bearded man is addressing a jury.
Pamela Smart seemed to be the perfect role model for the students of New Hampshire School District 21. She was young, extremely bright, attractive, and a very hip media director. Kids looked up to her. They liked her. In fact, one young boy, Billy Flynn, developed a crush on her. A fantasy, really. Like most teenage boys might. But unlike most, this fantasy was encouraged, nurtured, indeed fulfilled by Miss Smart. The defendant initiated an affair with Billy Flynn. She freely admits to having sexual intercourse with the then 16-year-old Billy, several times, in fact. In his house, in her car, in her office, at school.
Special appearance by Howard Hesseman.
But it was after the very first time that they had sex. In her home, in the bed that she shared with her husband, Greg, who was away on a business trip.
Ken Howard as Bill Smart.
That she drove Billy back to his place. And on the way, she informed him that they'd have to break up. Greg was getting suspicious.
Michael Learned as Judy Smart.
There wasn't anything else that could be done except to murder Greg. And for the next 12 weeks, Pamela Smart relentlessly urged and systematically instructed Billy Flynn to take her husband's life.
A boy rides his bike in front of a two-story home with a white picket fence. A younger Pam Smart is on a bed with her feet on a wall. She's listening to music in her headphones. A dark-haired woman answers the phone and talks to a man with long brown hair.
Hello?
Can I interest you in some term life insurance, ma'am?
You got the job at Northeastern.
Dateline, New Hampshire. Greg Smart follows in footsteps of Father Bill. World to become a more secure place as of Monday.
Well, congratulations, Greg. That's good news.
Thank you. Listen, have you seen that fiancé of mine lately?
The dark-haired woman approaches Pam as she listens to music. As she turns off the stereo, Pam sits up.
Greg's on the phone. He got the job.
You really got it?
How could they resist? So, can you pack a bag in an hour?
For what?
Well, I figured we'd spend my last weekend of freedom having a wicked good time in Boston, huh?
What do you mean, last weekend?
Pammy, it's a figure of speech. So what, I'll pick you up at 6?
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This is wonderful. I think this is just what Greg needs.
What?
I just meant he could do with a bit of maturing. There's nothing like a real profession to do the trick.
Pam watches the woman leave. Soon after, a short-haired Greg is driving his car. He pulls up in front of Pam's house. Wearing an army green jacket and a chain on his shoulder, he rings the doorbell.
Hey!
Pam frowns.
I have a 6:30 dinner reservation. Come on, let's move. We're going to hit some Friday night traffic.
Hair, what happened to your hair?
Well, the barber's still sweeping it up even as we speak. Sorry, babe, it had to go. You know, I'm a big-time corporate exec now.
So long. It was so beautiful.
I know. And it's all for you.
He gives her an envelope.
I don't want it in an envelope, Greg. I want it on your head. It's so wild. You look...
Ma'am, I may look like Donald Trump, but I still feel like Jon Bon Jovi.
It's not funny, Greg.
Honey, look. In a couple of months, after I've knocked them all dead with my sales magic, I'll grow back and nobody's gonna care. In the meantime, I gotta make an impression, right? I mean, it's just part of the game. I mean, you don't wear your spiked heels and your sequin bustier to the school district, do you? It's the same thing, right?
I guess.
Come on, Pam. It's just hair. Don't let it ruin our weekend. I'm still me, and I got all kinds of fun planned for it.
I better go pack my spikes and sequins.
She looks at the envelope. Greg raises his arms as she goes inside. She puts the envelope on her bed and puts some clothes into a suitcase. She picks up the envelope, looks at the hair inside, then places it next to her stereo. She picks up a photograph. It's a picture of her and Greg with long hair. She turns up the stereo and sighs. She closes her eyes and leans her head back.
What kind of mind does it take to orchestrate in intricate detail the murder of her 24-year-old husband of 11 months? What kind of heart does it take to conspire with her teenage lover and his friends to commit this atrocity? And what kind of soul does it take to spend the weeks afterwards, weeks when family and friends are grieving for the loss of Greg Smart, to spend those weeks coolly covering up the fact that she was a willing accomplice in this killing? What kind of woman is Pamela Smart? She's a dangerous woman.
Pam watches Greg light some candles on a nightstand. He picks up a boombox.
Music?
I do find room in there for clothes.
Who needs clothes?
She smiles.
You want to dance?
He nods. They kiss as he takes off her jacket. Whoa! Later, people throw rice as they run down some church steps. Pam's wearing a wedding dress and Greg is in a white tux. They get into a limo.
Judy, I just want to thank you for making me feel so much a part of your family. Sometimes I feel closer to you and Bill than I do to my own parents, and I just wanted you to know.
We're proud to have you as our daughter, Pam. And you are part of the family, you know. Now you go and have some fun.
Greg's parents wave and hug as the limo pulls away. Later, Greg hugs Pam as she holds a small dog. Bill and Judy are looking at pictures.
Well, and there's your son bribing the natives to let us down onto the private beach.
Work, too.
That's my boy.
You just got back and you've already got your pictures organized. Remarkable.
Hey, how about some champagne?
Great.
Will you look at all these gifts? My Lord, you two made out. If Bill and I'd gotten these many gifts when we got married, he could have retired early.
That's right.
This toaster cost $275. Isn't it just like the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen?
For $275, it had better be.
For $275, it better make the damn eggs and bacon as well.
Didn't Bill's brother Jeffrey give you a toaster?
He did, but it was only like $85. Oh, no, $65 on sale. So I took it back and got a credit toward another place setting up our china.
Hey, Pam.
Do you know how much all these things cost? I mean, did you go down to the store and price everything?
Of course. I know each and every price right down to the penny. I also made a whole computer printout. So I can tell you. Okay. For instance, the cheapest present from my side of the family was $95.
Do tell.
But the cheapest present from your side was only $55. The average...
Pam, cool it, will you? Nobody cares.
Yes, they do. I think it's important to know the value of things. The average on my side was 123, and the average on your side was 89. I think it's worth something to know these things, don't you?
Champagne?
Greg's parents look around uncomfortably.
$16.95.
In the courtroom.
Did Pam in any way engage in the planning of the killing of her own husband? We will prove she absolutely did not. But we will only prove that if you all keep an open mind to the facts. All the facts. The Constitution grants each citizen the right to a fair trial. You must now see to it, then, that it happens in Exeter County. It is in your hands. And you must listen to everything in context. Context. Not little bits and pieces that seem to give you a kernel of truth, but rather you must take it in the context of the person from whom it is coming. If you do that, if you give Pamela Smart a fair trial, if you do not jump to conclusions, but rather let the process play out before you, then you will return with a not guilty verdict. And you might even end up a little angry, as I am, that this case was ever even brought to trial.
Children play outside Pam and Greg's townhouse. Greg, in a dress shirt and tie, is washing dishes. He frowns.
Pam? What happened?
She's pacing.
I just got told by Channel 9 that I'm not good enough to be their news person.
Oh, God, honey, I'm sorry. You worked hard on that audition. I know you did.
Two-bit small-town local TV stations too stupid to know talent when they see it. Rotten at Media Center forever, teaching 15-year-olds how to plug in a VCR.
She looks around the room.
Well, listen... You think, I don't know, Barbara Walters hit the big time,
I
first shot
now.
Out?
I want it now.
Honey, you're 22.
I know how old I am.
Honey, all I'm saying is that one audition is...
I'm sorry, I'm just, I know, I'm sorry.
He nods.
Aren't you going to be late for your appointments? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you going to be all right?
She nods and smiles weakly.
Okay. Listen, I'm... gonna be home probably around 10 o'clock. You gonna be up?
No, I have an early day at the Media Center.
Okay.
He picks up his suit coat.
Pammy? I don't know, for what it's worth, I'd rather hear the news from you than anybody on TV. Honest.
He kisses his hand, holds it out, then leaves. At night, students enter a gymnasium. Pam and some teens listen to Billy, a long-haired young man wearing a black leather jacket.
So, maybe my friends were doing cocaine a couple, three times, maybe more. You know, said it was really great. The only problem was, you know, later, after it wore off, everything was still there. You know, I mean, everything that everybody thought was bothering him, that the coke was supposed to take care of, it just seemed to bother him worse. I just figured the best thing to do is just to solve your problems. And that way, there's no reason to do the coke.
I think Billy's absolutely right. You know, there's like this belief that drugs and rock music kind of go together. Forget it. I mean, nobody's more into heavy metal than me. I was the DJ on this radio talk show at this college station in Florida. I was known as the Maiden of Metal. And so I did all the concerts. I hung out. I got to know the groups. Well, Eddie Van Halen came on my show this one time to talk about drugs. And he basically said the same things that Billy just said. So, here's the deal. I guess when the partying stops, the problems are still there. They're just staring at bloodshot eyes.
Poor, young, vulnerable Billy Flynn. How vulnerable, I ask you. How innocent. How pitiable. Malleable. Is a person who not once, but on three separate occasions, admittedly set out to kill Greg Smart. A person who admittedly put a .38 caliber revolver to the head of another human being. A human being who begged for his life. And then, without so much as a thought, pulled the trigger, watched the blood splatter, and then simply left his victim to die.
So, what do you do at school?
What do I do as media director?
Well, I didn't mean anything, I just...
No, it's a really good question. I do just about everything having to do with the media. I do the news releases. I'm in charge of getting out the District 21 newsletter. I take the pictures, I write the articles, I do the layout on the computer.
Wow. That sounds like fun almost.
Well, it is fun. Jobs can be fun, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I never, I don't know.
What do you want to do eventually?
Well, I was thinking, like, maybe... You know, to be a journalist or something.
You should come to the office and hang out. Really, I can always use the help. We could work on some different stuff together. See if you like it.
That'd be great. Thanks. I get out here.
Which one's your house?
It's right down there.
Okay, I can drive you.
Oh, it's okay. Really.
Pam stops her Camaro at a corner and the curly-haired girl gets out.
Thanks. See you guys.
See ya.
Pam turns to Billy in the back seat.
If you come up here, I won't feel like I'm your chauffeur.
Oh.
Sure.
Billy climbs into the front passenger seat. He glances at her short skirt as she shifts the car into gear.
Do you play guitar? I was watching you in the mirror.
Oh, I guess. Well, I try.
I used to date a guy who played lead guitar for this really hot band. It takes a lot of work to get good at it. You into Van Halen?
Oh, yeah. You really know him? You know what you're talking about back to school?
Oh, I don't know him, but he was on my show, and we just hung out for a while after we got off the air.
They're like my favorite band. You know, right after a Motley Crue, maybe Whitesnake.
Ooh, I love this song.
She turns the car stereo up. Billy nods to the music, then looks at Pam's legs again. They stop in front of a house.
Well, thanks for the ride. I guess I'll see you around.
Okay. You did really great tonight. Your speech about drugs.
You did too.
Really?
Yeah, we all thought so.
Thanks. That means a lot. I'll see you.
Yeah.
If you're really serious about playing the guitar, you just have to work hard at it, you know?
Yeah.
Just remember, if you need something bad enough and you don't give up, you can have anything you want.
He stares at her.
It was nice to meet you.
They shake hands.
Me too.
She smiles as he gets out of the car. He sees that her license plate says Halen as she drives away.
The second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me Judy.
Four
calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me Greg.
Five goose laying. Okay. No, wait. I know this. Five French horns. I know. Five onion rings. Four calling birds.
And quietly walks away.
Two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
Judy watches her.
Sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer, now Vixen. On Comet,
say,
on Cupid.
You're going to recite the whole thing, are you?
It was Christmas time. What would you prefer? Casey at the Bat?
I just can't.
Okay. That's it. No mistletoe for you when we get home. Or mistletoe.
Or Mr. Oltoe.
You please just shut up. Do you know how idiotic you look when you drink like this? How many eggnogs did you have, Greg? I mean, it's just disgusting. You can't even hear anything I'm saying.
Him, that's enough.
I'm sorry. I just don't like it.
Bill frowns as Pam looks thoughtfully out the car window. Later, Judy is reading in bed as Bill turns off a lamp.
What in God's name is that?
I'll go get it. Pam.
Bill, he hit me.
What?
He hit me.
Who hit you?
Greg, just now.
Oh, my God, Pam, are you all right? What?
He hit me. That's what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pam. I'm sorry.
She holds Pam. Soon after, Bill arrives at Greg and Pam's home. Wearing an overcoat over his pajamas, Bill goes inside.
Greg? Greg, are you...
Dad? What are you doing here?
Did you hit your wife?
Did I what?
She's over at our house.
Your house? How the hell did she get there?
She walked. In the cold after she says you hit her.
I hit her? Well, come on, Dad. You know I'd never do that.
Then what the hell happened, for crying out loud? She's hysterical over there.
I don't know. Look, she was bitching at me from the minute you dropped us off. I mean, it was just like it was in the car, you remember? Only worse. And I just wanted to crash, you know? I told her that we'd talk about it tomorrow, that right then all I wanted to do was sleep, but she wouldn't quit. And she's standing in the middle of the bathroom door, and she wouldn't let me by, so I just pushed past her in the doorway. I mean, okay, maybe I used the side of my arm or something, but I barely touched her, for God's sake. I mean, come on, Dad. I know I'm blasted, but I'm not comatose.
Just go to bed. Listen, you two are married now. You've got to resolve your own problems, understand?
Yes, sir.
Bill nods, then reluctantly leaves. Pam is unfolding a blanket on a couch as Judy watches Bill come down the stairs.
You sure you don't want to stay down there with us tonight?
No, I'll be okay. I just want to sleep in my own house.
Bill and Judy exchange looks.
Okay. If you need anything, just call us.
He kisses her on the head.
Thank you.
They leave. After turning off a lamp, Pam cuddles with the dog on the couch. She stares straight ahead. At school, Pam is meeting with Billy, the curly-haired girl, and another student.
I know you guys have classes, so I'll talk fast. We need your help. The Florida Citrus Council is sponsoring this contest for the most creative commercial about orange juice. Here's the flyer. But what I want to do is make it a music video.
How can he make a music video about orange juice?
How can we not? Think about it. We get to be outrageous or funny outrageous. It says be creative. We can use the school's equipment. All we have to do is put our minds together and go wild.
Well, Billy knows how to use a video camera, right, Billy?
That's perfect. Well, you don't know, you'll learn.
So what if we win? Who gets the free trip to Florida?
It's for two. So Greg, my husband, and I would take the trip, and we'll split the cash prize between us.
Come on, you guys. It'll be fun. Okay, why not?
So, we'll get together in a couple of days, talk about a concept. Billy, are you in?
Sure.
Great. Cecilia, can I talk to you for a minute?
I'll catch up with you guys.
The curly-haired girl stays.
How would you like to be my intern? You can work here 8 hours a week for credit.
Are you kidding? That would be unreal.
Is that a yes?
When would I start?
How about tomorrow? I'll write you a pass for study hall.
Well, I guess it's my first official intern act. I should let you know that Billy has got a major crush on you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He'll get over it.
Later, Pam, Cecilia, and the other girl are dressed in prehistoric attire. They stretch as they pretend to awaken. They start dancing and moving to the music. Pam points to her mouth, as does Cecilia. The other girl hands them some oranges. Pam shakes the orange and listens to it. The other girl hits Pam in the head with a club and hits an orange. They all hit oranges with clubs. As Billy videotapes them, he smiles. The girls eat the oranges. Billy zooms in on Pam, who eats the orange seductively. He steps back with a camera.
Okay, we're getting too silly. We'll pick it up Saturday.
She chases Billy.
Get off the camera. Oh, my God. Will your mom let me take a shower at your house?
I think so.
She squeezes an orange into his mouth. Later, she comes out of the shower into Billy's room wearing only a towel. She looks at the various heavy metal posters and cutouts on the walls. Soon after, Cecilia listens as Billy talks to his mom.
I'm not going to be eating here tonight, Mom.
What do you mean? I've already made it.
Me and Cecilia are going dancing. Pam's taking us.
I just don't think it's appropriate for you to go out clubbing with one of your teachers.
She's not a teacher. She is me.
She's an adult.
I don't get it, Mom. You always complain there's not enough adults around to supervise whenever I want to go anywhere. Well, now you're getting just what you want.
I don't know.
And I don't care. If Dad were alive, he'd let me go.
Billy storms out and Cecilia follows. Later, Billy and Pam are dancing in a club. Pam is wearing a bra-like top and black jacket as she dances very close to Billy. Watches them gyrate on the dance floor. Strike where, Billy is sitting alone outside Pam's office and fidgeting.
You can go in now, Billy.
As Cecilia leaves with a box, he goes to Pam's office door and stops.
Cecilia said you wanted to see me?
Yeah, would you do me a favor?
She gets a roll of film.
Try.
You mentioned that your next-door neighbor has a photo developing service.
Yeah, you want to, let me get this developed for you?
Would you do that?
Sure.
Thanks. Billy? Will you tell me something? The truth. Do you ever think about me? I mean, like when I'm not around? It's okay. Whatever the answer is, it's okay.
He stares at her. Billy steps closer.
I think about you all the time. I can't stop thinking about you. I don't know what to do.
I think about you all the time, too.
You do?
All the time.
Later, they leave after working on the video.
You guys, that was great. So tomorrow morning?
I have to go to church.
All right, so after church. Is 1 o'clock okay?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Billy and I will work out the setups and we'll start right away, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
The girls leave on a motor scooter.
Go.
Pam and Billy go into his room.
Where's your mom?
Downstairs.
Pam nods. Billy takes off his leather jacket, then goes to a drawer. He takes out the developed pictures and hands them to her.
You got those pictures you wanted.
Did you look at these?
Oh, yeah.
Billy, you're bad.
She looks at the photographs of her lying seductively on a bed.
Did you like them?
She looks through the snapshots.
You look real good.
Honest?
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you want them?
You don't?
No, they're too amateurish for my modeling portfolio. My friend Becky took them. We were just kidding around. Take whichever one you want. Should we go over the schedule for tomorrow?
Pam sits on his bed. As Billy sits next to her, he looks at the photos.
This one.
You like that one?
It's beautiful.
It's yours.
He stares at the picture as Pam turns away for a moment. They look at each other, then kiss. They put their arms around each other and continue to kiss.
I should go. I'm married.
She walks around the bed and gathers her things.
I'm married. I'll see you tomorrow.
When can we...
She leaves.
Who is chasing me?
Greg is playing tag with a blonde-haired little girl.
Oh, you got me. You got me. Here, wear your dad out for a while.
Later, Greg and Pam are in bed.
We should see Ashley today. She's getting so big. She's so pretty, too. I hope we're that lucky when our time comes.
He kisses her neck, but she doesn't respond. He moves away.
Damn, there may be a problem here that I'm not aware of.
I'm just tired. Let's not make a big issue out of it, okay?
No. No, as a matter of fact, it's not okay. Maybe it is about time we started making an issue out of this. I mean, you don't want to start having kids for a while or until your career gets off the ground. That's fine. But does that mean we're putting off sex until you're... What, hosting Good Morning America?
Where the hell are you going?
To get myself a beer. It's called oral gratification.
So called getting a beer gut.
What?
Nothing.
No. What's that supposed to mean?
Pam.
She's on the stand.
Why did you marry Greg Smart?
Because I loved him. And I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him.
Would you speak up? I couldn't hear the last part of what you said.
I said I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him.
What was it about him you loved?
He was a very kind, gentle person. It was a lot of fun to be around.
Was the marriage happy?
Yes, extremely happy.
Billy and Pam are making out in her car. The windows are steamed up. They kiss passionately. A bearded man, a woman, and two boys come out of a mobile home.
Hey, guys, slow down!
Why can't I stay home with JR inside?
Billy's with Pete and JR.
Then you guys are gonna help me, right? Here's the deal. I told my mom I was staying over here. But in reality, I'm gonna be over at Pam's. So if my mom calls, you gotta tell her I'm, like, in the bathroom or something like that. Call me over at Pam's. Here's the number so I can call her back, okay? So, hold on, her husband, right? I mean, where's he gonna be? In the guest room?
Watching, probably.
No, Greg's on a ski vacation, okay? She's all alone.
He's just gonna leave her?
She don't ski. Besides, they don't get along that well anymore. Pam told me she wished she didn't marry him.
So, you're telling us that just you and Pam are spending the night together, alone?
Well, so he's gonna come along, so it's not gonna look funny.
Pete and JR smile at each other.
I'm telling you guys, she's crazy about me. She invited me.
Oh, so you're gonna get it on?
I hope so. That's her. Okay, remember, you guys promised me.
I'll call you if your mother calls.
Okay, thanks.
Billy leaves. His friends watch him climb into Pam's car.
I don't know. I think it's weird, man. She's like a teacher, and he's just a kid.
A girl is stripping on television. Cecilia's watching and frowning. Next to her on the couch, Pam and Billy are kissing passionately. Cecilia rolls her eyes as she looks at them.
See you guys.
Pam and Billy hold hands as they go upstairs. Cecilia shakes her head as the girl continues to strip. As Billy sits on the bed, Pam walks up dressed in a short red nightdress. She kneels in front of him and he touches her face. She moves closer and unbuttons his long-sleeved plaid shirt. They stare at each other as he removes the shirt. She helps him remove his blue t-shirt. They kiss. They look at each other, then kiss again. Downstairs, Cecilia turns off the television. She looks up the stairs, then goes to the refrigerator. She glances inside the nearly empty fridge, then shuts the door. Haley the dog runs in front of her as she goes up the stairs. She stops in front of a closed bedroom door.
I hope you guys are finished, because I'm really bored.
She opens the door and looks in. She stares at them, then quickly leaves. Later, Pam pulls up in front of Billy's home, then backs the car up a little.
Was last night your first time?
No.
Well, I'm no virgin either, but it was like, magical.
For me too.
Really? Why?
I don't know, you. You're everything a woman's supposed to be.
She turns away from him and shakes her head.
Oh, Billy.
Pam, what's wrong?
I'm so happy with you. All I want is you.
Me too, Pam. All I want is you.
But I don't think we can do this again.
He stares at her.
What?
Because Greg goes away like that very, very rarely. And I'd want to be with you all the time.
Why don't you just divorce him, Pam? Then we could be together forever.
I would in a minute. But he'd take everything. It's all in his name, the car, the house. And he can be mean, Billy. If I left him, he'd go mad. He'd get revenge. He'd take the dog. He might even try to hurt me.
What do you mean?
Sometimes he gets drunk and he yells and screams and throws things. He tried to hit me once.
Pam, you gotta get yourself out of there.
I would. If I could, I would. But I can't.
She holds his face in her hands and kisses him for a long moment.
I feel so safe with you. Will you help me?
I'll do anything you say, Mom.
They kiss again.
Do you know anyone who would kill someone?
What do you mean?
Greg. Do you know anyone who would kill Greg? It's the only way we can be together. It's the only way.
Greg and his father are at a Salesman of the Year luncheon.
This year marks the first time ever that a company rookie has won the award. And it's the first time ever that a father-son team have won together. Of course, you know who I'm talking about. Bill Smart, our favorite senior, and Greg Smart, our fabulous freshman.
Bill and Greg stand.
Pam better take you out to celebrate this.
At the school, Pam and Billy kiss passionately.
Figured it out yet?
What?
How to do it.
Do what?
Make it so you and me can be together. Without Greg.
He kisses her on the neck.
I don't understand why I can't just divorce that guy.
She pulls away.
He would never leave us alone. He'd follow us around, really. He was only doing this for us, Billy. I mean, I don't know. I thought you loved me.
Pam, I do love you. What happened?
What do you think happened? I told you. He's mean to me, okay?
Pam, he hits you? Greg hits you?
Between that and not being able to see you all the time, I don't think I can do this.
That bastard, I'll kill myself.
You will?
Realize how bad things were for you. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
He kisses her bruised arm.
It's okay. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do this by yourself. I'm going to help you work out the details. The main thing, Billy, is after you kill him, we can be together. Just you and me. For good. That's all that counts. Now, next Tuesday, I have an AOC meeting. And Greg has one of his evening appointments until about 9 o'clock. He gets home like 9:30, 10. Basically, you have to make it look like a burglary. You can take stuff out of the house and everything.
Cecilia is listening.
And you have to tie your hair back and wear all black. That way, in case anyone sees you, you can't be identified. I'll come right back here to my office and wait for you to call and tell me what happened.
She kisses him.
Do you have a gun?
No.
Can you get one?
I don't know.
You don't know? Look, are you going to do this or not?
Yeah, well, I'm going to do this. Okay,
you guys, you know, how come you're talking about this stuff? You're not really serious, right?
We're just trying to figure out how me and Billy can be together, that's all. We're just trying to figure it out.
But you're not really going to do it, right? I mean, kill Greg? I mean, you can't kill Greg. That would be crazy.
At night, Billy rides his bike to his house. He gets off the bike, picks it up, and carries it up the front walk. Later, he's in his room. He sits on his bed and looks down. He turns off the stereo and goes to a phone.
Media Center?
It's me.
What happened? Did you do it?
Not exactly. You see, I couldn't find a gun, and, nobody wanted to give me their car because I don't have a license.
You mean you didn't even go out there?
Well, I was gonna.
But what? How the hell could you do this? You promised me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're sorry? What was all that crap about loving me, about Greg being a bastard? Was all that just so you could get into my pants one more time?
No, Pam, I do love you.
Greg can get nuts and slap me around all he wants as long as little Billy gets to get it on with the teacher, right?
No, Pam, don't say that.
Well, that's it. We're through. Do you understand?
Come on, Pam, I need you.
She hangs up and begins putting things away. She stares at the phone. She grabs her purse and puts her coat on. She leaves. Later, Billy is waiting in front of Pam's office as Cecilia comes out.
Go on in. It's okay.
He goes to Pam's office doorway, then hesitates. She looks at him as he steps closer.
Come here.
She holds out her hand.
Come here.
She hugs him.
It's okay. It's okay. Everything's okay. Come on. I have another meeting at the end of April. I'm gonna give you another chance.
Later, Billy is with his friends.
Are you nuts? You want to kill a guy that you've never even met?
He hits her. He abuses her.
You seen him?
She told me.
Great.
I've seen the bruises.
Come on.
As long as he's around, me and Pam can't ever be together.
You sure she really wants you to do this?
Wants me to. She's making me. Otherwise, she says she's gonna break the whole thing off.
Billy looks at JR.
I need a gun. JR, your dad's got guns. Are you gonna help me or not?
Help you kill a guy?
I'll help you. My dad's got a gun. Don't even know where it is, but I do.
Get real, Raymond. Guns can be traced.
She said it'd be worth $1,000.
She'll pay us?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think this is nuts.
Later, Billy and Raymond get out of one car and get into Pam's car. Billy gets behind the wheel. They pull up in front of Billy's house. Billy goes inside as Raymond gets behind the wheel. Billy reaches under his bed and pulls out a large duffel bag. He checks the contents, then closes it. Pam is leaving the school.
Well, congratulations. Now that you have our approval for your media course, the full board can vote on...
Oh, well. Next time. Come on, I'll drop you two off.
She takes her car keys from Billy. Soon after, they drop Raymond off. Billy looks at her as she suddenly stops the car.
What the hell happened out there?
I told you, Pam, we just got lost is all.
You expect me to believe that? Lost? Going to my house? I guess the nights we spent there didn't mean a hell of a lot to you. You can't even remember how to get there.
No, Pam.
Either you're a coward or you never really loved me. Which is it?
I do love you,
Pam. So you're a coward?
No,
Right, you never loved me. Which is good, because you make me sick. Get out.
Wait, Pam. Pam, I just got lost. I promise, that's all.
Yeah, fine, sure. I'm gonna tell Greg everything and just beg his forgiveness. He'll probably be horrible for a while, but eventually we'll work it out. Enough is enough.
Please, I need you in my life, I swear.
There's one way to make that happen, and you blew it both times.
Just one more chance, Pam, please.
I don't know.
Aren't you going to take me home?
I don't want your mother to see us. No one works on a video this late.
He hesitates, then gets out of the car. Later, Billy has tears in his eyes as his friends watch him pace back and forth.
If I lose a pound...
Billy shakes his head and lowers his eyebrows.
Kill myself.
At night, Billy stops his bicycle next to Pam's car. She rolls the window down.
You want $1,000 each.
I can only spend $1,000 total. Okay.
Billy nods.
You can get in the car now if you want.
She smiles at him. He nods. Later in her car, Pam's legs are resting between the front seats. Pete is in the front passenger side and JR is driving. Pam and Billy are kissing passionately in the back.
Hey, JR, slow
slow down. The last thing we need is a ticket.
As they continue down the road, she unfolds a small piece of paper.
Okay, here's directions to my house so you don't get lost again, for God's sake. See, I'm giving them to Billy. Memorize them and then destroy the paper. You got it? Where's the gun?
It's right here.
And make sure you use it and not a knife. No knives.
What if...
No ifs. Knives are messy. You'll get blood on the furniture and the carpet. There's all these light colors and blood never comes out. Now, don't forget the gloves. We don't want fingerprints all over the place. I left a bunch of gold chains and stuff in the jewelry box, which you can keep. And Billy knows where the speakers are. Make sure you put Haley in the basement, okay? The last thing I need is a traumatized dog.
You left the bulkhead door unlocked, right?
All right. Listen, I don't know if... I mean, like, what should I do when I get home, you know? Should I just, like, scream outright and run for the neighbors or call the police or what?
Just, you know, act natural.
At the school, Pam is walking with Cecilia.
They're really going to do it this time. Bill and them.
Do what?
Kill Greg.
Uh-huh.
They have a gun.
From where?
JR's father had it. Oh, God, I gotta go. Stop by later. I'm working straight through to my meeting. By the time I get out, it should all be over.
Billy, JR, and Pete arrive at the mobile home.
You taking Raymond?
Yeah, man. I don't want to be alone in the car all the time.
Hey, Raymond!
Raymond smiles. Soon after, the four boys arrive at a parking lot. They pull into a parking space.
Well, now all we gotta do is just wait till it gets dark.
All right, well, I'm gonna go over to Papagino's to use the bathroom, right?
Me too.
It's in here.
Hey, anybody got any money?
They all look at Raymond.
Might as well get a pizza as long as we're gonna be there.
Greg arrives at a home.
This is Davis?
Yeah?
Hi, I'm Greg Smart from Northeastern Fidelity. We talked on the phone.
Right. Come on in.
Thank you.
Bob, that guy from the insurance.
Item 7. Cost of living increase in salary for non-tenured faculty. And finally, a recommendation from the Winneconnet Board that funds be set aside for a media course to be taught in the fall semester by the current school media director, Mrs. Pamela Smart.
It's dusk as Pete and Billy change into dark clothing in the car. Lightning strikes in the distance. Raymond eats a piece of pizza. Pete ties his hair back and puts a knit cap on. As Pete puts tape over the ends of his fingers, Billy loads the gun, then puts it in his jacket.
Take it easy, man. We won't use the gun. It's just for backup. No problem.
I'm fine.
Let's do this.
Pete and Billy get out of the car. Billy and JR exchange a thumbs-up sign. Pete leads Billy into the darkness. At the Davises.
Well, now, Greg, you made a sale. Now, you can call it quits for the night and get on home. Too much work's a bad thing.
How would you know?
See what you've got to look forward to?
Well, at least your home is better protected now. I thank you both very, very much. And please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call me. I'm always available.
We'll keep it in mind.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night.
Greg leaves. Pete and Billy run through some trees toward the Smart townhouse. They go around another way and stop near the bulkhead doors leading to the basement. They both put on latex gloves. They go in, closing the doors behind them.
Ah! Ah!
Haley meets them as they come up from the basement.
It's okay, Haley. It's okay.
Billy picks up the dog and puts it in the basement. They start to search the house. At the school meeting...
All right, then, if no one else has anything further to add, may I please see a show of hands for funding Mrs. Smart's media class at Winnicunnet in September.
They all raise their hands, and Pam smiles. Pam's jewelry box is dumped out.
I can't believe this. And the jewelry she left us is worth about 50 cents. Damn, what a hoax job.
Relax, Peters. Keep going, right?
They start stacking stereo and video equipment. Billy picks up brass candlesticks.
Here, we should use these. Maybe we should use this.
Pete holds up a butcher knife. Pam walks through the school parking lot to her car. Greg is driving home. Billy and Pete stop near the front door.
All right, Pete, how about if I can hide behind the kitchen doorway? You can...
I'll be behind the front door, and when it comes in, I'll jump him, pull him in, and then, you know, we'll do it.
Billy peers through the window to watch for Greg. Pete sits nervously on the couch holding the large knife. Greg arrives home.
He's here. Pete! He's here.
They crash into each other, but Billy gets behind the door instead of Pete. He tries to change, but Pete pushes him back. Greg opens the door and turns on a light.
Haley? Here, boy. Haley? Haley?
He's grabbed from behind, and the door closes. Billy and Pete come racing out of the darkness back to JR's car. Pam arrives home. Carrying her briefcase, she gets out of her car. She hesitates at her front door. She steps inside to see Greg lying on the floor.
Greg?
She steps back and drops her briefcase. She runs out onto a walkway and covers her face.
Help! Help! Please, somebody help!
Is there anyone?
What's happening here? But where's Greg Smart? He's our son. No, we've got to get in there.
All right, sir. No one's allowed.
We're not no one. This is my son's place. Just tell me, what the hell's going on here? Is my son all right?
I can't tell you anything, sir.
They see Greg on the floor.
For God's sake, he's right there on the floor. Well, help him, somebody. Why aren't they helping you?
He's dead.
An officer holds them back.
I've got to go to him. He's my son. Let me go to him. Please.
Later, Pam and Judy sit next to each other stoically. Someone gives Judy something to drink.
Thank you.
She looks at Pam, who is staring straight ahead. Judy sets the cup and saucer on a coffee table, then puts her arm around Pam.
Pam, could someone call my mother, please? And would someone get the dog?
The next day, kids are gathering at the high school. A teacher brings Billy, Cecilia, the other girl in the video, and JR into a room.
Come on in.
sit anywhere. I called you in here because I wanted you to hear this from me before the media starts trumpeting it about. There's been a tragedy. Now, I know how close you all are with Pam Smart. And, well, her husband was killed last night.
Cecilia stares at the teacher.
He was, in fact, murdered.
She looks at Billy and JR.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
Oh, man. Do they know who did it?
I haven't heard anything about that yet. I do think, though, that we should all go to the wake together and show Pam some support.
At the wake, Judy stares sadly into her son's coffin. Pam is greeting the mourners.
Oh, Pam. Oh, thank you so much for coming. It's so thoughtful of you, really. So
thank
nice.
You. Are you all right?
Yeah, it's just a shock, you know.
Cecilia walks up.
Hi.
As they hug, Billy quickly walks past.
Thanks for coming.
Later, Pam is at the police station.
Does anybody have any kind of a grudge against your husband?
No, absolutely not. Greg was very popular, very loved. He had a lot of wonderful friends.
Any involvement with drugs of any kind?
Never. Neither he nor I believed in drugs. Do you think this is drug-related? Because I heard that on the news. And I tell you, it really disturbs me because it's just false. You think this was drug-related? Is that it?
There is no it, Mrs. Smart. Only possibilities.
You can rule out drugs. I mean, the television and the jewelry were all gone. What about burglary?
Maybe. Did your husband ever exhibit any violent behavior of any kind?
No, never.
How about to you?
No, I said never.
Mrs. Smart, we realize that this is very difficult for you. We just have to be thorough.
Well, I agree with that. I think you should be.
Okay. Let's see, you were married, what, a year?
Not quite.
Happily?
Very happily. Ask anyone.
Was Greg ever abusive to you in any way?
Look, that's just not possible. Greg was a very kind, gentle soul. Especially to me. He loved me, and I loved him. The only thing I can ever think of that we fought about was what to have for dinner.
I see.
I hope that you do.
Well, that'll be all for now. We'll be in touch. Oh, please, don't mention anything to the media about this case. It'll just hinder the investigation, okay?
Later, she's talking to a reporter.
Is this okay for you, Pam, right in front of the house right
I
here?
I think so.
On the walkway, it's better than inside.
I think so, don't you?
Yeah, maybe parents are in there. It's quiet out here. You know about this stuff, right? Television, you study communications.
Right.
Can you move that mic up just a little bit, Jim? Just a little bit closer to her face, you know, so we can hear what she has to say.
You're wondering about the dress, right? Greg gave me this dress. He loved it.
Don't worry about that. You look absolutely beautiful. I mean, you're holding up remarkably well. I can't believe how well you're doing. I really don't know how you do it.
I'm really not sure myself where the strength is coming from. Should I start that part again?
I'm sorry. Could you?
Yeah. I'm really not sure myself where the strength is coming from. From Greg, I think. It's as if he's inside me, helping me bear up and go on.
Yeah. Listen, this morning when you called to request this interview, you said something about setting the record straight. Can you tell us what you meant by that?
Set the record straight is absolutely right. I think the media has got this all wrong. They're making it sound like my husband was killed by drug dealers. I think this was a burglary. That's what makes it so awful. It was just a senseless thing.
Later.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I'll see you guys back in the van. Listen, Pam, let me ask you just one more thing off the record. I'm not going to use this, but why did you happen to call me? All the people you could have called.
Oh, you're my favorite newscaster. I watch your reports all the time. And I know what goes into it, believe me.
Thank you.
We should talk sometime also about the business.
We'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks.
The reporter leaves. At the police station.
There's a call on line two I think you're going to want to hear.
Two?
Yep.
As one detective answers the phone, the other listens in on an extension.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, miss. You said you had some information on the Gregory Smart murder?
Yes.
Would you identify yourself, please?
I'd rather not, if that's okay.
That's okay. I'll take down any information that you have.
Well, I work at Papa Gino's. Pizza?
Oh, the one over in Seabrook or the other one?
Well, if I tell you that, then...
He records the conversation.
Right. All right, that's okay. That's okay. So you work at Papa Gino's?
Yes, and there's this girl that works there, Cecilia Pierce?
Yes, we've talked to her.
You did?
Yes, but go on. What is it that you know?
Oh, okay. Anyway, I don't know when it was, but it was about a month before the murder, the Greg Smart murder. She told me she knew a teacher at Winnicunnet who was paying someone to kill her husband. Well, at the time, I thought, like, boy, is this crazy or what? But now with all that's happened, I thought that maybe, you know, that it was true or something.
Right.
Pam is sitting alone in a hallway and fidgeting. Cecilia is talking to detectives.
I told you, I don't know. I told you.
I'm telling you, we don't believe you.
Well, I guess that's just your problem.
Well, it could become your problem in about 5 minutes if we decide to go across the hall and officially charge you with harboring a criminal.
We have an informant that told us that you have information about the murder.
Who said that?
It doesn't matter who. It matters that they did.
They lied. I don't know anything.
Cecilia looks at the detectives. She checks her watch.
You got an appointment or something?
I'm supposed to be at driver's ed.
Excuse us. I mean, please, accept our apologies.
She stands.
Cecilia, we'll be talking to you again. I promise.
Cecilia and her mother leave. They pass Pam on the way out.
How did it go? What did they ask you? Did they grill you?
The detectives see Pam asking Cecilia questions. Judy is writing at a table.
Hello?
Hi, it's Pam.
Oh, hi.
I'm sorry to bother you. I just, I was just sitting here thinking about Greg and... I feel like I'm literally going out of my mind.
I know, dear. I'm in the same boat.
I can't sleep without him. I don't want to eat anything without him.
Pam shakes her head.
I don't know. I feel sometimes like I just want to call it quits, you know? I just want to find some way to end it all.
No, Pam, you stop that. That's no answer.
I know. By the way, have you heard anything about the investigation? I know Bill and Captain Jackson are close, but the police is completely shutting me out. They won't tell me anything. I was just wondering.
Raymond's at a party.
So then, Flynn and Randall come running across the field, falling down and everything, right? They finally get to the car and get in, and me and Latimer are just like, you know, did you do it or what? Pete's like, yeah, man, let's get out of here. And Billy just, you know, like, did it. Killed the guy. Ooh. So we take off, and I start singing. Shoot fly, don't bother me. Shoot fly, don't bother me. Only just to calm down. But they don't think it's funny, and Pete tells me to shut up. So, what can I do? You know, they look like they needed it. They're nervous, freaking out. Kill the guy, you know?
A dark-haired teenager is working on a motorcycle in front of the mobile home as a teen from the party approaches on a bicycle.
Billy Flynn up there?
Uh-uh. Just JR and Pete.
You see Flynn, you tell him you ought to bust Raymond Feller in the mouth.
Why's that?
He's been going around telling all of Seabrook that Billy and them were the ones that killed that teacher's husband.
The dark-haired teen frowns, then leaves.
Come on, cut the crap!
He turns off the stereo.
Now tell me the truth, I gotta know. Did you do it?
J.R. and Pete look at each other.
How do you think I got these speakers?
We got 500 each, Ralph. And Pam told Billy she gets $140,000 insurance. I mean, like, this guy's worth more dead than alive.
I grew up with you guys.
Soon after, JR's dad gets a .38 out of a drawer full of guns.
Sorry about your son, sir.
It's just been cleaned. Real recently. I'm sorry about this. I'm real sorry.
Later, JR's dad and Ralph go into the police station. JR's dad has the gun wrapped in a paper sack.
This is my firearm. It's registered and all. Anyway, I think it's a weapon that was used in the Greg Smart murder.
Good evening. Our lead story tonight, a major breakthrough in a case that has captivated New England, the Gregory Smart murder case. Just hours ago, three boys, all of them students at Winnicott High School, were arrested in Seabrook. There's also an unconfirmed report that there may soon be a fourth arrest. A young female friend of the boys, who may have actually driven the car to Derry the night of May 1st, the night Greg Smart was so brutally murdered in his home.
Pam stares at the television. Later, she's crying in the dark. At the police station, Captain Jackson sees Cecilia meekly walking in with her mother.
Kind of late for you all, isn't it?
I believe my daughter has some things to tell you.
Is that right?
Cecilia nods.
Well, come right in.
Soon after, they are taping a wire to Cecilia's waist.
Now, you'll just ask the same kind of questions we just went over. All you do is act natural with her, the way you've always been.
At the school, Cecilia hurries into a restroom, frowns, and splashes water on her face. She looks in a mirror. She picks up her bag and leaves. One of the detectives hurries to a van parked across from the school.
All I can say is no matter what they try and make you talk about, if I were you, I didn't know a damn thing.
All I know is I had to come and talk to you because, I mean, I don't know what to do. I have to go and talk to the Attorney General. I'm just so sick of lying, you know?
Well, that's fine. All I'm saying is if you tell the truth, you're going to be an accessory to murder.
Right.
So that's your choice. And not only that, but what's your family going to think? They're going to be like, Cecilia, you knew about this ahead of time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody in town, too? I mean, if I were you...
Okay.
Once you say no, they leave you alone. Once you say yes, they never leave you alone.
But they're going to subpoena me, Pam. I know they are. I hate this. What if I lie on the stand and they find out?
How are they going to do that?
If someone says that I did know.
Who the hell is going to say that?
I don't know, JR. Does he know what I know?
Even if he did know, it's his word against yours. They can't prove a thing.
But what I was saying is obviously I knew about it beforehand. And if I go up there and lie and they find out about it after, I'm in big trouble.
So that's my point. So you're better off just lying about it to begin with. Just stick to your story. That's the best way. And, of course, probably JR is going to roll any day now. He was supposedly only in the car, but who knows? So he's going to be like, well, screw this. I'm not going to go to jail forever and turn against them and blame me.
Right.
But, I mean, hell, I never said any words like, JR, I'm going to pay you to kill Greg. I never said that. So who's a jury going to believe? JR, this 16-year-old kid in the slammer, or me? I'm a teacher. They're going to believe me.
Later at the school, Pam is sitting alone at a table as the detectives enter.
Well, hi, this is a surprise.
Oh, I'm sorry. We really couldn't call first.
It doesn't matter. I'm just in the middle of a few things.
Keeping busy, huh?
Well, yeah. You too, right?
Always.
Too busy.
Right.
Listen, Pam, would you mind standing up?
She stares at them.
You're under arrest.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to talk to a lawyer, have him present with you while you are being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed to represent you before any questions if you wish.
Greg's parents are watching television.
I'll get it.
Hello? Oh, hi, Captain. How are you? What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Bill? What is it?
They've arrested Pam as an accomplice to murder.
I just didn't want to believe it.
Children are killing children, Judy. Who knows what to believe anymore?
Listen to me. They could put us away for life if we don't take this deal. This way we're looking at 30 years max with 12 off for good behavior.
Billy stares at the floor.
18! 18 versus life.
I told her I wasn't going to tell her. I promised her.
Forget that. You think she's thinking about you now? She's just going around saying it was all your idea. She had nothing to do with it. You got to testify against her, Bill. We got to hang together on this one. Hasn't she ruined your life enough already?
The bearded prosecutor watches the teens come out of a room, followed by a uniformed officer.
Well, you boys talk it over?
Yeah, we talked about it.
They all look at Billy.
We'll do it. We'll testify against Pam.
The prosecutor nods. In the courtroom, Billy's on the stand.
Is this the knife that Pete Randall held in front of Greg Smart's face?
Billy frowns at the sight of the butcher knife.
Yeah.
So, after you found you couldn't cut his throat, what did you do then?
I took out the gun. I cocked it. I aimed at his head.
And?
I pulled the trigger.
Judy holds on to Bill as he covers his face. The judge leans closer to a microphone.
We'll take a morning recess.
Billy cries into his hands. Pam stares at him stoically. The prosecutor and defense attorney wade through a sea of reporters outside the courthouse.
No comment. No comment this time. Absolutely no comment.
Sorry.
You know the rules.
No comment.
Later, reporters stand in the back with pen and paper as the jury returns with a verdict. Greg's parents and Pam's parents wait anxiously with the other spectators.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Will the defendant please rise?
Pam stands and straightens her suit jacket.
How do you find the defendant, Pamela Smart, on the charge of accomplice to murder in the first degree?
Guilty, Your Honor.
Pam has no reaction to the verdict as reporters rush to her attorneys. Bill holds his wife as she cries. A line of cars solemnly files into a cemetery. As men and women get out, each is carrying a single red rose. The flowers are placed at the base of Greg's headstone. The family, including Greg's parents, form a circle around Greg's grave. Everyone holds hands.
You can finally rest now, son.
Bill and Judy hug. Judy turns to Ashley and picks her up. They leave the cemetery. The screen reads, Pamela Smart was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Her appeal to the county superior court was recently denied. Her attorneys have appealed the case to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. Billy Flynn is in prison awaiting formal sentencing. Narrative script written and narrated by Susan Crane for the Narrative Television Network. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.